introduce Shay Youngblood. She was born in Georgia and is the author of novels Black Girl in Paris and Soul Kiss, as well as the collection of short fiction The Big Mama Stories. Her published plays include Amazing Grace, Shaking the Mess Out of Misery, Talking Bones, Square Blues, Black Power Barbie, and Communism Killed My Dog. She's the recipient of numerous grants and awards, including a Pushcart Prize for Fiction, a Lorraine Hansberry Playwriting Award, an Edward Albee Honoree, several NAACP Theatre Awards, and a 2004 New York Foundation for the Arts Sustained Achievement Award. Her short stories have been performed at Symphony Space and recorded for NPR's Selected Shorts. Ms. Youngblood received her MFA in creative writing from Brown University and has taught creative writing to faculty and graduate students at NYU and Texas A&M universities, where she was the visiting writer in residence. She was recently awarded a 5-month National Endowment for the Arts sponsored Japan-U.S. Creative Artists Fellowship for 2011 to research Japanese architecture and culture. Please join me in welcoming Shay Youngblood.
Thank you, Leslie. It is a pleasure to be here today. Good afternoon and welcome to the Fort Worth Modern. In a few weeks, I'll be going to Japan to continue research on a novel I'm working on about architecture and memory. It's a novel that's set in Hawaii and Japan, and as part of my research for this novel, I've been studying Japanese architecture and especially Japanese architects, and the project is really about home. I say architecture and memory, but it's really about those first memories of home that we never forget. I say the word, and you can probably close your eyes and go back there and walk through those houses of memory just with your eyes closed. So I've been reading a lot about traditional Japanese houses and Japanese culture, and I'm just going to read this little part here, and then I'll get that part out, and then we'll start talking. I'm not an architect or an expert on art. I'm a writer. I'm curious about how architecture affects memory and how memory affects architecture. And I love beautiful things. I'm excited to have this opportunity to talk about some of my discoveries about the designer of this building, Japanese architect Tadao Ando, and some of the influences that shaped his design choices. In mathematical terms, I think of this building as an elegant proof, a place where geometry meets poetry. As a writer, I responded to the Fort Worth Modern as I would to a stunning piece of poetry or a well-written piece of literature. It literally took my breath away the first time I entered this building. I felt like the world as I knew it fell away. It was like reading a really good book when you're deep into the story and you know, just the world falls away. And I never fail to be moved when I enter this building. It's as if I'm entering a sacred space, a kind of reliquary, a temple, really, to modern art. The building has been likened to a kind of haiku, which is a very structured form of Japanese poetry. And the essence of haiku is usually represented by the juxtaposition of two images or ideas. And Ando has said, this is a quote from Ando, "A building must also tell a story. It must give a visitor a sense of the invisible." And I think as we move through the spaces, you'll feel that. There's a gentleman here, Mark, has a book in his hand. It's called Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. As some of you know or have heard, I'm a teacher. And my last position was at Texas A&M as I was a writer in residence there. And I am a constant teacher as I move through the world. And so I'm going to give you guys a little exercise before we begin. And I'd like to ask you if you would think of what's one word or phrase that you would use to describe this building, an emotion or just call it out. A symphony. Your mother-in-law called it a symphony. Your brother-in-law, a symphony. Another word or phrase or emotion. I don't hear anything. I don't mind silence. Light and dark. Grace. Airy. Monumental. Contemplation. Anybody else? Temple. Any others?
Japanese.
Inspiring. Intimate. Everybody gets to speak. Come on. Light. Elegance.
Fluid.
Peaceful. Serenity. Generous. Parallel. Graceful. You have grace.
Echo.
Echo. Echo. Anybody I miss? Anybody didn't get an opportunity? That's the teacher in me. Well, you've just written a beautiful poem here. I'll just read this list off. A symphony, intimate, fluid, light, peaceful, serenity, light and dark, generous grace, elegance, parallel, echo, airy, monumental, contemplation, temple, Japanese, inspiring. I feel all those things in this building, and that's a wonderful list poem to take away here. And I want to introduce even though this building, we just made up a poem using just, you know, kind of regular words here. And so even though this building is made out of concrete and glass, there are other elements that make it feel really light. One of the things is, from the exterior, when you entered this building, you knew that this was a place, it was all about art. From the exterior, you see the Richard Serra sculpture on the corner vortex, and that's a place in that, if you haven't passed through there, how many of you, this is your first time to the museum? So you must, if you didn't do that before, come through the vortex and sing a song or do a tap dance, because that's what it's for, a place of inspiration out there. But that's what this building does too. From the exterior, when you enter it, you get that feeling that this is a place of art. And as you enter the building too, on either side, these wonderful sculptures, Joe Havel on one side, Cy Twombly on the other, and you enter this great hall and you see this magnificent space here. And it really does feel like a temple. In Japanese, in Japan, one of the things that Tada Ando did was he studied traditional temples and tea houses, and he wanted to capture, he didn't necessarily want to make Japanese buildings, but he wanted to capture the feeling of the Japan-ness of the spaces, and the spaces there. So this space, if you look above, you'll see this bridge here that connects the two areas here. The building is, there are five parallel structures, two long and two short. The long spaces are more public spaces, and the shorter boxes are more of the galleries here. And as we move through today, I'm going to take you outside first. But just one note, we're going to go back a little bit. I wanted to give you a little bit of information about the architect Tadao Ando. He was born in 1941 in Osaka, Japan, and he was pretty much self-taught. I've been reading a lot about him lately, so I have a lot of details. I won't give you all of them. But he grew up with his grandmother. He was born just a few minutes after his twin brother. By the time he was 17, he was a professional boxer. And he taught himself, he learned a lot about materials and craft by working with woodworkers. And he learned the personality of wood. He learned as much as he could about like substance and how light works. So he was just really amazing person who he would move through these spaces and try to get the feeling of them rather than necessarily trying to recreate spaces. So one of the things that when he was about 15 years old, he grew up in a two-story townhouse, a very dark, long space. And darkness was key. There, you know, light was very precious in this house, apparently he still lives today, as far as my understanding, he still lives in that space. But he also, he when he was 15 years old, he had the opportunity to work on renovating that house. And so he learned to, you know, he learned some skills about like how to use materials and handle space. And anyway, he was at about 17 years old. He found a book on Corbusier, Le Corbusier, the modernist architect, in a bookstore. And he put some money down on that book, and he started saving his money. And every like week, he would go in to see if the book was still there. When he was finally able to get the book, he would trace drawings of Corbusier. He did it so over and over so many times that the pages were black. He did not go to university, but my understanding is that he did a 4-year program. He read all the books in this 4-year program over a period of a year, and traveled around the world, and really wanted to study. He said to in Japan, to study architecture was to study Western architecture, and so he went to the source. He traveled all over Africa and Greece and Rome, and looking at spaces, and came up with his own ideas. So I'm going to take you outside, and we're going to take a look at the building from out there. So we're going to go through the cafe and just stand near the pipe. It's very cold outside. We won't be out there very long, but please come with me through here. I know it's really cold out. We're not going to stay out very long, but I thought this was a really important view for you to get of the building, because you get to see those are the two parallel boxes over here, the two long boxes where the public spaces are, and you see the galleries over here, and you can see quite clearly how Tadao Ando wanted to have the space be, you know, nature. He wanted nature to really be a big part of this design. And you can see in the galleries, you can see nature in almost every one of the galleries here. There's this huge pond, and all the greenery that you see was built on this space. And you can see the trees here were hand. I was just watching the video, the making of the modern. I can see Ando hand placing where the trees will go. He wanted this space to be an arbor for art, an oasis in a way. And as we move through the galleries, you can see that there are all these different heights, and he wanted you to have a lot of different views of the building. As you move through, you wouldn't get tired, that you'd always be anticipating and, you know, sort of ready for a new discovery as we move through here. And again, it gives you plenty of time to be with a piece and to really appreciate it. I keep moving through around these bays. And more light. I was just about to. Now, this is a Carl Andre piece. I was, again, surprised when I arrived here last week. Felix Gonzalez Torres, all that candy wasn't here because I was looking forward to getting a piece. but they switch out the art, so it's nice. There's always something new here. And I was also surprised to discover that this is one of the few pieces of art that you can actually walk on it. it's okay. It won't hurt the piece. But I just wanted to bring your awareness to the water again. That, as I said, it's treated like a swimming pool, so it's clean. You know, it's taken care of. It's all beautiful and clean. But it makes me feel, I came here and I looked out, and it made me feel like I was on a ship or that I was actually in the water. And the water is a really spiritual element as well to the building, and it's an integral part of the building too, because it's, again, your awareness is with it all. It's here all the time, and it moves, and it makes it feeling like the building is moving, sort of this sense of the building being a living, breathing thing. And it really does. The people are what activate the building and what makes it really special. So we're going to keep moving around here. Another bay. Okay. moving around here, a Donald Judd piece. Again, and you can look back into the galleries and see lots of different frames and squares going off into the distance. But again, lots of anticipation what's going to come next. We're going to go right around this one. This is the north staircase. Again, it's closed because they're installing upstairs, but it's a beautiful and very dramatic view, this long vista looking down from the top of those stairs. And some of Ando's other buildings, he uses these long vistas and puts art directly onto the wall, which is kind of frightening for some curators. Like just, you know, they prefer to have the white-walled galleries. But in some of the other spaces, he does use that long vista to put art on. But this is another example of that Engawa space that's both outside and inside, and also these three bays that we've come curving around. So when you get an opportunity to come back to the museum, I hope that you'll, you know, get to, you know, sort of take a long meditative walk down the staircase here. And although there's a lot of natural light in the building, you can see some, you know, subtle lighting along the way here. Note of that. Okay, we're going to go back around. We've got one more. For those of you who didn't hear the early part of my story, I received a grant to go to Japan last year. I was going to be there for about 5 months, writing a novel set in Japan and Hawaii about architecture and memory. Well, I arrived in Japan, had a wonderful time those first few days. I actually spent time at Omotesando. It's a beautiful, wide boulevard that's very much like the Champs-Élysées in Paris. There's Prada buildings, there's all these beautiful modern buildings, just glorious. And there's Omotesando Hills, a shopping mall that was designed by Tadao Ando. And the feeling was, when I entered it, was very much like this space, in that you enter this shopping mall, big concrete block, and on the inside, very much like the Guggenheim, which is a spiral, this is a kind of a squarish spiral, and it looked like a catwalk, which is amazing. And the light was very dim inside, but it looked like all the people that were walking, they're walking on a catwalk, like they were modeling. And all the windows even looked like little theaters. Even Harry Winston, the jeweler, had these dramatic, thick velvet curtains in the window. So it's like, you know, again, create this sense of anticipation and surprise and was created in that space. Well, this space, Ladder for Booker T. Washington, is a sculpture by Martin Puryear. And it's actually one long sapling, one tree that was split up the middle, and these wooden pegs put in. And it really has been likened to like a staircase to heaven. It really ascends. And this, I believe at first he didn't want to sell this piece. It was made in about 1996. And so he reluctantly, you know, kind of loaned it to the museum. And eventually it became part of the collection, and this room, it just fit it so perfectly well. But you'll see at different times of the day, you can even see here the shadows that it makes on the wall, and it creates like a whole other drama to the space. And this, like I said, is one of the other most Japanese of feelings in the space, where the light kind of dramatizes, and the dimness, and you can't have light without dark, in a way. So, love the use of that. We're going to go through here, through the galleries now. I hope that you'll take time to come back through the Focus Gallery and to muse through some of the other galleries. And you can see what I was talking about, how Ando directs your eye and sort of directs your movement so that it's always interesting and you're not too tired looking at, you know, sort of moving through the buildings, moving through the spaces. Are there any questions for me, by the way? I haven't stopped to ask you if you had any questions for me at all that I could possibly answer. I have a fact sheet. I can go to that. Yes. His twin is a designer, actually. He's an interior designer, and he, my understanding is that he designs spaces for venues, like if there's going to be a really fabulous party of 10,000 people or something, and designs like really big spaces like that. And he works with his brother sometimes on spaces. And his brother was a boxer first. He followed in his brother's footsteps as a boxer. And I was watching a video, Michael Blackstone video, and there was a moment in the film when his whole staff, they went out into the alley and they were exercising. And apparently he still does his boxing exercises every single night for about half an hour to keep fit. Yes, don't touch the art, not there. Sorry. Yes. Are there any other questions you might have for me? Oh, well, there's a wonderful book I just want to point out to you. It's Michael Opping did 7 interviews over the period of time that Ando was here, and I was just rereading that this morning. And I think, in a way, I must have read this. I read it maybe a year or two ago, and I think that influenced, in a way, the direction that I wanted to take my research in, because he talked about growing up in this 2-story wooden, you know, kind of narrow space, and how that he still lives in that space. And he said, I'd like to have a bigger house with more light. He said, but this is the place that